Good morning to each one. Greetings in the name of our risen Lord. I want to say it's been a blessing to be here already this morning. I appreciated that song, Jesus, Joy of Living, Jesus, Joy the Best. I think it went well with the devotional. I appreciated Brother Dean's thoughts. Does it truly show that we serve a risen Lord and we believe that and are thankful for what He has done for us? And also his thoughts on a changed heart is the greatest miracle. And I can say amen to that. That, as he shared, that will draw people to the Lord. They will wonder what happened to that person, that they are so different than they used to be. Something's different. It's not normal. And I also thought of the children's class, giving instruction. I just remember years ago when I was working in construction, we hired a new employee. And sometimes he didn't catch on very well, and it was complicated because we did a lot of different things. But after a while, he hated to say he didn't know, so he said, I know how. And later you come back and you realize he didn't. And that was frustrating. I would have said, you know, just if you don't know how, just say so. So yeah, I just want to say amen to what we heard already this morning. This morning for a message, the title is, What Does Compromise Cost? And I want to say, it is something I still deal with in my own life. Compromise is very easy to do. When we know better, we may end up compromising because of pressures. And I have to think of the verse, what will you give in exchange for your soul? What are you willing to give up in exchange for your soul? Before we go on, let's pause for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, knowing you're an all-wise, all-knowing God. Lord, we look to you this morning. Lord, I pray for direction from you. Lord, that you would guide my thoughts, my lips. Lord, I pray for each one here, and those, if there's any that could not be here that are listening in, you would bless them too. Lord, I pray that our hearts could be open. Lord, as we hear from you, just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does compromise mean? So we think of that for a title, compromise. The Websters would say, it has three definitions. I want to mainly look at one. A is a way of reaching agreement in which each person or group gives up something that was wanted in order to end an argument or dispute. Second one is something that combines the qualities of two different things. And the third, a change that makes something worse, and that is not done for a good reason. And a compromise of principles to damage or weaken something. And that's the one we want to think about. If we just paraphrase that a little bit, that last one is basically making a decision against better knowledge. When maybe because of pressures, but we're making decisions against better knowledge. So what does a compromising heart look like? What is the thinking or talk when we have a compromising heart? And I know we all face pressures, but some of the things would be, did Jesus really say that? Did Jesus really mean that? That some are thinking, we may think, well, because of these pressures, he'll understand if I make this decision. And those kind of thinking or thoughts will carry over into how we relate to other authorities. A compromising heart may want to or try to go around truth, trying to find an easier way. And we might say things that's like it's not that big a deal. What does it matter? It's only a little thing. Just once will not hurt or shouldn't hurt. Is it a big deal having a compromising heart? When we think about it, is it a big deal? Does it matter? I think of a story and I found it was July 28th, 1865, and Captain Samuel DeWolfe's frustration was mounted as he pondered his situation. His ship, Brother Jonathan, already sat far too low in the water, yet the stevedores continued to carry cargo. His appeals to the profit-hungry owners of the ship had resulted in a take-it-or-leave-it response. Sea captains were plentiful. The captain knew that the overloading greatly endangered the safety of the ship, but failure to comply with the owner's instructions would cost him his job. So what would you have done? What would we have done facing those kind of thing, that situation? Resigning himself to the circumstances, the captain set sail the next morning. So, see what it says, resigning himself to the circumstances. He knew it was not a wise thing. He knew it was dangerous, but he did it anyway. He set sail. As I said, compromise is, in paraphrase, making a decision against better knowledge. And a compromise of principles or to damage or weaken something. A compromising heart will buckle under pressure. And we may say things, I didn't want to, but I had to. I didn't like it, but it's what I was pressured to do. And as I said, these are things that I deal with today yet, and we face it all around us. So now the next point. What is the opposite of a compromising heart? Let's turn to Mark 8:34-38. Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall be the Son of Man. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So when we think of the opposite of a compromising heart, as we see in verse 34, denying self, taking up our cross and following Jesus. We need to have that heart if we want to not be a compromising person. And decisions will be made by looking at the truths in God's word, not by the things around us, the pressures we're facing, or feelings. Denying ourselves does not mean hating ourselves, but giving full control of our lives to Christ. There is a difference. We don't hate ourselves, but we give full control of life. Our lives to Christ. Taking up his cross, in Bible times, the person who carried a cross was on his way to execution. It's a picture of someone who's given up his own will. He's carrying his cross, he's giving up his own will. And the opposite of a compromising heart is a surrendered heart. If we look at verse 35, one who's willing to lose his life for the gospel's sake. And then verse 36, one that is looking beyond self and now to God and eternal. And then verse 38, one that is not ashamed of Jesus and his words, even in evil times. Here it talks about an evil and adulterous and sinful generation. And I know we live in an evil time today. But one thing I notice here, it says, shame to me and my words. Can we separate Jesus and his word? Why did he hear? Also, as I said, it says here, an evil and adulterous generation. And we are in an evil and adulterous generation. There's sin around. But I had to think of that saying, separating Jesus and his words. In this evil world we live in, it's easy to say, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. But separating his word would be not following in obedience. That it's much easier to say, I love Jesus, than to follow his teaching. That's the bottom line. There are many that would have to admit that the words of Christ are righteous and true, but cannot be bear to be frowned upon and despised for truly following the words of Jesus. I have to think of some of the canned billboards, and at least one would say, real Christians obey Jesus' teachings. I think their purpose there was to define the difference between a Christian and a real Christian. As we know, a real Christian will follow the words of Jesus. So, if we're not willing to truly follow Jesus, and as sometimes that is being looked down upon by the world, the results are throwing away of truth and going down the stream of apostasy. If we're not willing to truly follow Jesus, we'll throw away truth and go down the stream of apostasy. The one that is truly following Jesus and not compromising is not ashamed of Jesus and his word and his teaching. Now let's turn to one page over, Mark 9:43, thinking more. The opposite of a compromising heart. Mark 9:43-45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. So again, the opposite of a compromising heart is one, as it says here, willing to do drastic things to avoid sin and to avoid the negative consequences. There is we're willing to do drastic things, even if it's not popular, to cut off things that will cause us to compromise or to sin. Remember back that story about Samuel on the ship. Instead of taking drastic action, saying, I won't take this ship because it was dangerous, knowing he would lose his job, he resigned himself to the fact that it's not a good situation, but I guess I'll go anyway. He was not willing to take drastic action to avoid possible danger of his life. So can we see the difference, the two kinds of hearts, a compromising heart and a one that is not? If we have a compromising heart, we cannot be trusted. Because though we may want to live and do what's right, under pressure we'll usually give in. When hard situations come or decisions need to be made that are hard, we will probably give in. And we make a change or a decision that is not for a good reason, because of pressure. And it also shows that God is not above all in our lives. If we give in under pressure, the circumstances and pressures come, we give in to that rather than going to God. He is our all, and we're going to him for strength and for direction. An uncompromising heart can be trusted because God is above all, and to a non-compromising heart, his word is always above all. Can we see that in our lives? Do others see God is above all when we make decisions? The next point is, what are some reasons we may or we might compromise? What are some reasons? One, to avoid unpleasant circumstances. And I think that's a very real thing. We want to avoid unpleasant circumstances, so we compromise. Because of pressure from others, whether it's, you know, in our job situation, a community, even different situations, because of pressures from others, we compromise. Or it can be because of pressure from our children. Another reason, because we are selfish, self-centered, and to get what I want. And we may compromise values so we don't have to give up our friends. So I think those are all real things, and I think we're all human enough to know we have probably all faced some or many of these things. Now let us go look at some examples. 1 Kings 12, I think we'll turn to that. 1 Kings 12 about Rehoboam. Let us, 1 Kings 12, let's start at verse 4. When Rehoboam was just made king, and he was going for advice on how to rule. Okay, some of the people had come and said he should rule differently than his father. Verse 4, "The father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his yoke, which he put on upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee." And he said unto them, "Depart yet for 3 days, then come again." And the people departed. So then Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, "What counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter?" And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, "Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." I think we'll stop there, but we can see here what Rehoboam did. He compromised. Think back to the definition: a change that makes something worse and that is not done for a good reason. So as we're familiar with the story, he asked the old men, then he asked the young men, and he did what he wanted. I think he did it knowing it wasn't the best thing to do. He did it, I don't know all the reasons why he said that or why he made that decision, but I think he was a selfish, arrogant man. I believe that's why he did that. He was selfish and arrogant. He was a young man ruling, and he went with the young men's counsel. And what was his pay, what was the cost of his compromise was, I won't bother reading it, but we know the people rebelled against him for his doing what was unwise. The people rebelled. Another reason we may compromise: obedience looks too hard. We know what it says there in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." We may compromise and think, "But you don't know my enemy. That's too hard. You don't know them. How can I love my enemies?" Instead of thinking, loving them like we should, returning good for evil, we may think about how they wronged us and mistreated us. And I know in the one verse it talks about loving our enemies, that you may be children of your Father. And then verse 48 in Matthew 5 says to be perfect as your Father, or mature and complete as your Father. So we may compromise because obedience looks too hard. And that, you can go all over with that. And sometimes obedience does look hard. But are we willing to compromise the truth of the word because it looks too hard? We may compromise because we lack a true fear of God. We don't have a true fear of God in our hearts, and we may compromise. We may compromise because we lack a vision. That familiar verse in Proverbs 29:14, where no vision is, the people perish. Decisions are made without spiritual discernment, foresight, and inspiration. Choices are made on by what just seems good today without looking beyond, thinking of the future. We're making choices without a vision. We also may compromise when society's values shift. It can affect us more than we think. When they shift, we may, because society doesn't give much thought on direction, and more thought is on the earthly. Society's values are on earthly things such as money, luxury, vacations, vehicles, etc. Do we let that affect our lives, how we make our decisions? Does that cause us to change or compromise? Are we truly still seeking first the kingdom of God? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God or letting the society affect how we view things and how we make decisions? Another way society can affect us, we can think, well, society is full of immodesty, so it's impossible to live a pure thought life. Are we willing to compromise like that? But God's word stands. If we truly have Him in our heart, we still can walk in victory. Now I want to think about examples and results of compromise. Here in 1 Kings about Solomon. 1 Kings 11. First of all, as we know, Solomon was a man, a wise man, but when God asked him what he would like, we know the story, he asked for wisdom. And because it pleased the Lord, he not only gave Solomon wisdom, but he gave riches and honor. And also thinking of Solomon, he built this temple. We think of him as a great man, but then 1 Kings 11, 1-13, I want to read some there. Thinking about compromising. 1 Kings 11, 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. So Solomon clave these unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord. But his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son David forever, but will give one tribe to thy son David for my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I had chosen. So first of all, we can think about Solomon, this great man. He loves strange women, but if we think about what it said here, In verse 2, the Lord had said, do not do it. Do not take strange or foreign women. And God even they gave a reason. They will turn your heart away from serving me. And what did Solomon do? He did it anyway. He went after foreign women and they turned his heart away. That is compromise. I think he knew better. And many times, as I said, compromise is doing something when we know better and we do it anyway because of pressures. And results of his compromise, I noticed it said in verse 6, and he went from not fully serving and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. And it says, just basically his heart was turned away just as God had said would happen. And verse 9, God was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord. And I think today, if our heart is turned away from the Lord, let us think how God feels about that. Our heart is turned away, and what turns our heart away? And ultimately, the results of Solomon's compromise was the kingdom was taken away from his son. When we compromise, it will not end well. Now think of Saul, King Saul in 1 Samuel 13. His compromise, 1 Samuel 13, verses 5 to 14. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, as said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. So why did Saul compromise? I think we know he was in a hard situation. The soldiers were scattering, and Samuel did not come on the day appointed, but from reading, it would seem like he did not wait till the end of the day. And the Philistines were gathering their forces at Michmash, and there was imminent danger of Philistine attack. Can we really blame him for getting worried and thinking something has to be done? But he disobeyed God. And that's what I want to think about today. Are we willing to obey God no matter what the situation? When the Word of God says something, are we willing to obey no matter what the pressures we're facing? I think he felt like he did what he had to do. He said, I was forced to make a decision. But I believe there was a lack of trust and obedience to God that he did this. He knew better. And his results of making this decision in 13 and 14, he loses his kingdom. So we can see God viewed it seriously, that he was disobedient, even though it looked like an impossible situation or he had to do something. he felt like he had to take things in his own hands. And then we can look at that at different ways. We may be in a certain situation in our lives. We feel something needs to be done, but it's not in our place to do it. Us stepping into that situation, doing it, does not make it okay. Even if we may feel panicky, but if it's not our place, Samuel stepped out of God's order to do something that was not in his place to do, even though he felt somebody had to do it. He compromised truth because he felt he had to do something. Now thinking back to Solomon and his compromise, his heart turning away from God, how is it with us today? Do we think we can have a heart after God and have worldly interests? Is that possible? To have a heart after, truly after God and have worldly interests? I think if we have a worldly interest, either we have a worldly heart or one that is turning away from God. If we have interest, our heart is after the things of the world. And may we take a lesson from Solomon. There are many things in our lives that can turn our hearts. If we're, we can put in our in the blank whatever you can think of, but there's many things that will can turn our hearts away from God, from truly serving God. You know, there's a difference between serving God and truly serving God, or saying I'm a Christian and truly being a Christian. So may we have our hearts truly connected to God. I think that is one of the keys to not having our hearts turned. If we're truly walking with God, connected with God, we are much less likely to have our hearts turned away into away from God, into the things of serving Satan in this world. And when we think of compromising, I had to think of, is compromising in our appearance a big deal? You know, this past week, two places I'd seen written down some of the similar things. One was we were out at the CAST meeting in Ohio, and that's on non-resistance. And I actually didn't hear the message, but I just saw in the minutes from the previous meeting, I wasn't there, but it said, when nonconformity was lost, non-resistance was always lost. And then I just read another article yesterday. Wherever the practice of separation and personal appearance has been abandoned, there is usually a very rapid adaption to worldly conformity in other areas, such as the loss of true non-resistance, moral breakdown by accepting divorce and all its attending evils, running after the world and pleasure-seeking. And I've noticed that once, it often seems to go together. Why does this happen many times? Once nonconformity is lost, it seems like it's a package. I thought of some reason, I know I don't have all the answers, I believe when you start compromising, where do you stop? It's just a continual thing. And once you're totally assimilated into the world in your appearance, you feel at home, you're not used to standing when, say, you would be faced with non-resistance. Use that for example, which was one of the points here. We're not used to saying no. We're not used to standing against the tide of the world. Once we have assimilated into it, I think that's one of the reasons that we lose non-resistance and other things. And we're now being influenced by a whole set, different set of people. We're at home. We're taking in many of the things. And I believe also people will relate to us in a different way when our appearance changes. I know appearance is not salvation, but I had to think of when Brother Dean was talking this morning. I'm guessing there are probably two reasons that, at least that Cuban man talked to him. Probably one was his countenance, and I'm guessing the other one was his appearance. Probably one of some of the reasons the man approached him, expecting him to be a believer. Our appearance will give off something, and when people see us, they will expect things out of us. Either certain appearance will expect you're a Christian, and I know it's not always correct, but there is usually an expectation. And as that article said, when we look like the world, we often lose other biblical things. It seemed like it's a package. And I was talking to a brother the other week from another one of our other congregations. We discussed, and it seemed like it's just a package. When you lose nonconformity, you lose many other things. It's just somehow, some reason, it brings in many other things. We lose many things. So when we think of, there's many other examples of people who compromised and the results. We think of Jonah. He didn't want to obey God, so he compromised, got on a ship. We know the results of his compromising. But each one of us has been given the power to make choices. The way we choose demands serious consideration. We have many examples in the Bible of those who made either right or wrong choices and of the bountiful blessings or sad consequences that followed. Both the natural and spiritual laws of sowing and reaping still stand. We reap what we sow. So what are we doing today, each one of us? May we look at our own hearts. Are we making wise choices? Are we compromising? This should, you know, we look at any area of our life. Are we compromising? Are we making wise choices? We will reap the consequences. Multitudes choose to take the broad road, easy, downward, and even though it leads to destruction. Few are those who are willing to take up the cross of Christ and walk the straight and narrow way, which brings abundant eternal life. We can choose to give obedience. We can choose to give ourselves to full surrender to Christ and follow him in full obedience, or we can choose to resist his will, make excuses, or compromise for disobedience and live to please ourselves. We can cheerfully accept our lot in life with a spirit of godly contentment and restful assurance in grateful acknowledgement of God's loving care and overruling hand. Or as we face the hurts and shattered dreams of life, we can allow attitudes of bitterness, ingratitude, and smoldering anger to hold us in a tight grip. We can choose by God's grace to respond to others with love, forgiveness, kindness, and mercy, or we can react with malicious revenge or a resentful, grudging, unforgiving spirit. So how are we responding to all these situations? If we persist in choosing our own selfish way, whether in action or attitude, we will reap a bitter harvest of remorse, inner conflict, unfulfilled expectations, and a broken relationship with God. Notice it says here, reap a broken relationship with God. You know, if we stay in these things, we can be a Christian, but if we choose a selfish way, and we'll reap a bitter harvest of remorse, inner conflict, and unfulfilled expectations. Some of these things, if we live in these things and bitterness and all these things, eventually our relationship with the Lord will be broken off if we don't repent. If we persist in choosing our own selfish way, whether in action, in contrast, choosing the right way brings harmonious relationships, abiding peace, deep joy, true fulfillment, and sweet fellowship with our Creator. We win or we lose by the way we choose. How are we choosing? Are we choosing to completely follow the ways of God, His will, and obey it, or are we compromising? What does compromise cost? There's a bitter harvest the reward for that, and not the blessing of God in our lives if we compromise. Now back to Captain Samuel DeWolf. As I read earlier, he had set sail in 1865 after resigning himself to the circumstances. The ship was too full, endangering the safety of the ship. But if he was unwilling to take it, he would lose his job. On July 30th, the brother Jonathan ran into high winds and heavy swells of the sudden Pacific storm. The ship went down off the coast of the Northern California with a loss of 212 men, women, and children, including Captain DeWolf. So what is it with our life? Do we have tendency to allow seemingly small compromises in order to avoid unpleasant circumstances? Captain DeWolf would have lost his job if he had refused the ship owner's demands, but his compromise cost him his life. How much more tragic if we make a compromise resulting in the loss of our soul. So what does compromise cost us? It can mean the difference between if we compromise, we can spend eternity in hell instead of heaven. What will you give in exchange for your soul? And think of another verse, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. How is it with each one of us? And I just want to add yet, let's look at our lives. Are we compromising? And I would be open from any others. I feel like I'm ending on a negative note. Do you have ways you've were able to be victorious and helped you not to compromise the situation? I'd be glad to hear from you all. Is there areas or ways, things that have helped you not to compromise, to stand strong when you were faced with pressures? I would be glad to hear from you all. God bless you.